Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us together here. Hear another portion of thy word and sing a song and praise your great name, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for everything we have. We know it comes from you. And we don't want to forget what the reason for the season is. Your birth of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Birthdays.
Granddaughter
and a
great-granddaughter.
Thank you.
That's on behalf of the church.
Thank you for not sealing it. Well, I thank you. Thank you, whole church. And I wish I had a gift I could give to all of you. I don't. but I appreciate you all. And I love you all. You say you asked if there were any announcements. Christmas is coming. That's not a secret, but we ought to make sure it's announced. So it's good to see you all. Good crowd this morning. And I'm just tickled to have you here. I have just a few announcements. It's good to see Brad Teeter here. He's been out for a good while. You got applause. That's good. Yeah. But when you add one, you subtract one. And Jody Vickers is going to be leaving for Florida this week. So we won't see her until next spring. Don't clap for that. I'm sure she's happy. There is a birthday or a Christmas card on the bulletin board for the whole church from the Patton family. And we have flowers. I'm not sure I know what all these are. One flower over here is in memory of Charles Vickers, that one. And the other one is brought by Becky in memory of A.G. and Ida Ruth Cantor, Mike Hildebrand, and other members of Becky's family. So these are very beautiful. Let's see, I think that's all the announcements. Your prayer list, I think, is pretty much up to date. So be sure you consult that this week as you pray.
Billy.
Yes.
Before church is over, the little ones, Gail would always buy them a Christmas ornament every year. And Christy has got her Christmas ornament. So if you are small or if you just want an ornament, I think we have plenty. And Christy will be handing them out.
Don't everybody leave before we give out the apples and oranges.
Oh. Okay, then. The benediction will not be the end of the service. Just stay put for a few minutes. And you reminded me of something else, and I've forgotten already what it was. So, I can't remember. I know what it was. Yeah. Yes. I know what it was. I mentioned...
Gail.
Gail, yes. We don't want to forget Gail. And certainly, last week, put on the prayer list that Geneva Hill would love to receive cards. I wonder if we could send her a card. A Christmas card, something just to let her know that we remember her. Okay. If you want to sign that after church, why, it'll be right up here on the piano. The real focus of our worship on Sunday is this time of remembrance of our Savior on the cross. As we meet around this table, we're actually commemorating two deaths. The death of our Savior for our sins, and the death of us believers to our sins. Peter says in his first epistle, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin. So in partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're brought face to face with the fact that he died for our sins and that we die to sin. And it doesn't end there, fortunately, because beyond the death, there's life. As Jesus rose from the grave, Peter said, he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So we begin a new life because he died for us. So as we share this solemn occasion, let's give thanks for his unspeakable gift and be overwhelmed with gratitude as we realize that we can be forgiven of our sins.
Reading Psalm 2:44. When I survey the Lord's cross,
church and the good crowd that we have here this morning. We realize that as we come here that we celebrate the birth of your son Jesus this week, and we hope that everyone remembers what the season is for. And we want to partake of these emblems which represent what he means to us, because if it wasn't for him we would live in darkness with no hope after our life here on earth is finished. And he provides us with salvation and forgiveness. And we partake of these emblems in remembrance of the blood that was shed and his broken body for us to have that opportunity. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Lord God, again, thank you for this glorious day you blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. But mostly important, God, thank you for the reason for this season, the gift of the birth of your Son, Jesus. As we bring forth this gift, we ask that you bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
If you will, turn with me to hymn number 181, and we'll sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Those old hymns, they have so much so much scripture reference in them. Let's turn to 183 and sing just the first and last verses. And then our prayer hymn is number 184. Let's stand as we join in prayer together. This is the first and last verses. Almighty Father in heaven, at this season of the year, we are thrilled to celebrate once again the arrival of your beloved Son and the opening of your incredible plan of salvation for all the world. The greatest minds in all of humanity have never been able to come up with a way to be rid of our sin. You alone have the wisdom, the holiness, and the power to erase our crooked past and grant us a clear path to forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to rescue us from our own sins and to allow us to share in publishing the good news of his salvation and his resurrection. We pray the name of Jesus will be on our hearts and on our lips often, not only this month, but at every opportunity. And we thank you for your matchless love and grace in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning at verse 18. If you have your Bible with you, you might want to open it to Matthew 1:18. And this is the story that we share this morning. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin shall be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And that's our theme for today. Well, do you have your Christmas shopping all done? For everybody on your list? I don't see a lot of yeses. Gift giving is not easy, is it? I'm the world's worst. I've never known what to get for anybody. And my wife was always a big help because she knew what to get for everybody. I guess most of you have most of your shopping done. Some of us, though, could use a little help to make sure we don't buy the wrong things. Of course, there's no rush. We still have 3 days left. You understand that. But I thought I'd offer a little advice that I found on the internet, because that's the best place to get advice, isn't it? Some top gifts that you should not buy. Guys, here are four things that you should not buy for your wife. A case of motor oil. Tickets to a wrestling match. A table saw. Well, now there might be some women that would want a table saw, but most wouldn't. And a new satellite dish with a total, all the sports channels. Now those are things that you wouldn't want to buy for your wife or your lady. And women, here's some things you probably don't want to buy for your husband either. Tickets to the ballet. Any kind of little knick-knack that you set on a shelf or on a table or on a windowsill, you know. A Bath and Body Works soap basket. Or tickets to a weekend seminar on getting in touch with your feelings. You agree? Last week we studied the gifts that a woman named Mary received that Christmas morning. We learned that if we wanted to have a Merry Christmas, we need to first understand Mary's Christmas. Because God gave her gifts that were a perfect fit for her. She was going to be pregnant. Her gifts were going to be just custom made for her. She was going to have a child. He was going to be named Jesus. He was going to be great because he was to be the Son of the Most High. His kingdom would never end. He would be called the Holy One. And after receiving the list of her gifts, Mary responded with the only gift she had, the gift of herself. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you said." In other words, whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. Now this morning, we're going to look at how a man named Joseph responded to the gift that God had for him. We'll see, he wasn't too thrilled with the whole idea at first. But eventually, he got the point. That's what I call this sermon, "The Man Who Got the Point." He accepted the present as God carefully unwrapped it for him and let him see what it really was. Joseph is really the forgotten figure in the Christmas story, isn't he? He doesn't compare to the infinite one who became an infant. He doesn't compare to Mary, the mother of Jesus, in excitement. But you know, he's the only one in the nativity story, the only major figure in the nativity story who's not heard from. There's not a word fall out of his mouth in any one of the gospel accounts. But while he was silent, he was a man of great character, and he left behind something that speaks much louder than his words could. I heard about a Sunday school that was putting on a Christmas pageant, which included the story of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn. And there was one little boy that really wanted to be Joseph. Oh, he couldn't hardly stand it. But when the parts were handed out, he was assigned to be the innkeeper instead. And to make it worse, he couldn't stand the boy who got to be Joseph. Could not stand him. But he didn't say anything. He kept quiet. But he was secretly plotting how he could get by at Joseph. On the night of the performance, Mary, he was going to get back at the innkeeper, I'm sorry. Mary and Joseph come walking across the stage and they knock on the door of the inn. And the doorkeeper opens the door and says, "What do you want?" And Joseph answered, "Well, we'd like to have a room for the night." And suddenly the innkeeper threw the door wide open, smiled even wider and said, "Great, come on in, I'll give you the best room in the house." Well, for a few seconds, poor little Joseph didn't know what to say because that wasn't in the script at all. But thinking quickly, he looked inside past the door, past the innkeeper, to look at the inside of the inn. And then he turned to Mary and said, "No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Let's go to the barn, Mary." That's quick thinking. But in all the Christmas pageants, Joseph doesn't get a starring role, but his role is incredibly important. The real Joseph also had to think quickly. when the lion, he thought God had the lions messed up, but he needed some angelic intervention before he was able to play the role that God was assigning to him. He probably thought his life was all scripted out. Got a wife lined up, we're going to be married. I've got a trade, I'm a carpenter. Life is going to go forward just the way I expect. But then his world came crashing down. He had a day of disappointment, followed by a night of discovery that eventually led to a morning of dedication. Let's look at the day of disappointment. He thought any hope he had for a future wedding was destroyed. Pick up the story in Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. It's helpful to understand, perhaps, the two stages leading up to a Jewish wedding at that time. There was, first of all, the engagement, which included a contract between the two families of the bride and groom. Then came the betrothal. And this is similar to the engagement, except that here the bride and the groom sign a legal contract which cannot be broken except by legal means. They were considered, for all legal purposes, husband and wife at that point. They didn't live together. They maintained their innocence. But this lasted about a year. And it was supposed to be a time of building a relationship, planning for the future, happy expectations, and all those things that nowadays are taking place before there's any commitment. But this was the stage Joseph and Mary were at. They were betrothed to be married. And notice how matter-of-factly Matthew describes Joseph's quandary. He said, before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered how Jesus found out about the baby? Ever wondered? I can see them doing things that all couples do, getting ready for a wedding. Imagine Mary would ask Joseph questions about the flowers and the reception, and being the good guy that he was, he'd just nod and say, whatever you think, dear. But at some point in all the wedding arrangements, she must have dropped the bomb about the baby. I don't know how she did it. How do you tell your fiancé that you're pregnant and it had nothing to do with him? Maybe she read him the Christmas story from Luke's Gospel. No. No, he didn't write that until after it happened. Well, however it was done, Joseph was completely stunned. How could she possibly have done this to him and then expect him to believe that she was still a virgin? At some point in all the arrangements, this conversation must have ended awkwardly, very awkwardly, I would think, with Joseph feeling betrayed and Mary feeling hurt because he didn't believe her. He had trusted her. He wanted to spend the rest of his life with her. But for her to go, it just wasn't right. So what was he supposed to do at this point? Well, there were a couple of options. He could have her legally stoned to death for committing adultery, or he could do a divorce. A legal divorce would be the other option, and call off the wedding. Now, can you imagine what's going on inside his head at this point? My head says she should be punished. My heart doesn't say anything because it's lying there on the floor, broken to pieces. He thought, I haven't even kissed her, and now she's carrying someone else's child. And, oh yeah, her child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm sure that's true. But verse 19 reveals Joseph's character and his solution to the problem. Verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. The Bible tells us Joseph was a righteous man, and he simply decided to go through with a quiet divorce so Mary would not be disgraced publicly. Maybe she could go live with Elizabeth for a while. But life is never that simple, is it? Oh, no. After a day of disappointment, Joseph had a night of discovery. That night, as he tossed and turned in his sleep, something remarkable happened. Look at verse 20. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Wow! As much as Joseph loved Mary, he found it very hard to believe her story. He was having a lot of difficulty understanding how it could even be possible. Of course, Mary had the same problem. She asked the angel, how can this be? This isn't natural. But remember, Joseph had not heard what the angel Gabriel said to Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. To his credit, he's not rushing to judgment. He's certainly leaning toward cutting off his relationship with her. But God is rewriting the script and is about to give Joseph a different role in this drama. Notice, he says this child will be, he calls Joseph son of David, which meant that he was in the same family tree as King David and the promised Messiah who would come from that family. And he recognizes why Joseph was reluctant to marry this girl, because if he married her, everybody would think he had broken his vow of poverty, of purity. Poverty too, maybe. And that he had gotten Mary pregnant. He would be publicly humiliated along with her. So this God was asking Joseph to follow him on this great adventure of faith. And the angel verified that what Mary had told him was true. Was absolutely true. And Joseph is bumfuzzled, is the word that comes to mind. He said, this child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary was not unfaithful to him. So he's to take Mary as his wife, be the legal father, and name the baby Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph must have thought, what? I'm going to be stepfather of one who will save all his people from their sins? Wow! That's quite a promotion. Well, verses 22 and 23 provide some more clarification. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin shall be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now that assured Joseph of three things. Number one, there was a specific prophecy that said this was going to happen, which had been written 500 or 600 or 700 years earlier. It meant there was a special person. This coming Messiah had to be a special person to do what the angel said he would do. And there was a supernatural presence. The baby to be born to Mary was called Emmanuel, which means God is coming to be with us. God with us. And that's amazing. J.B. Phillips once said, "Nothing can alter the fact that we live on a visited planet." We've been visited. We indeed have. And that brings us salvation, security, sympathy, all the good stuff that a Savior has to offer. I heard about another children's drama. A group of first graders got together and decided to write their own version of the Nativity. Can you imagine? It was somewhat more modern than the traditional drama. You would expect that. There were all the familiar members of the cast, Joseph, the shepherds, the angel propped up in the background, but Mary was nowhere to be seen. So, there were several bales of hay scattered around the stage, but no Mary. Suddenly, behind the bales of hay come some loud sounds of evidently Mary is in labor. And soon the doctor arrives, dressed in a white coat with a stethoscope around his neck, and Joseph, with a look of relief on his face, takes the doctor's arm and hurries him back behind the bales of hay. And then Joseph starts pacing back and forth, back and forth. And after a couple minutes, the doctor emerges with a big smile on his face and says, "Congratulations, Joseph, it's a God." Well, that's pretty close to the message that this angel was giving Joseph. Congratulations, it's a God with us. Now, Joseph certainly counted that as a night of discovery. When he woke up the next day, he had a morning of dedication. Now, Joseph is not an Old Testament scholar. He was a carpenter. But he's a man who obeys God when he understands what he's being asked to do. And that's what verses 24 and 25 tell us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, Joseph had learned a valuable lesson that I expect stayed with him for a lifetime. Never underestimate God. A preacher named Doug Goins said, when he crawls out of bed, this is Joseph, when he crawls out of bed, he rushes to obey the command. The language used implies urgency. There's no argument, no rationalization, no hesitation. With kindness and compassion, he immediately takes Mary to be his wife. He then lovingly cares for her through the final months of pregnancy, protecting her from the rumors of a shotgun wedding. What we see in Joseph is an amazing model of obedience to the Lord. I like how Joseph responded when he knew what he was supposed to do. It shows his character. He believed that God was going to be born in human flesh, and he had a role to play in it. That's pretty exciting. I think it was Madeline Engel who said, in the New Testament, there's only one really great miracle, and that is the incarnation. Divine being born in human body. Now, I'm not sure I agree. I think the resurrection is a pretty good miracle, too. But her point is this. She said, once you believe that, the virgin birth, everything else is duck soup. We know what God can do. And since Joseph believed that the miracle would come, he had no trouble believing God for anything else. Quite a story. Could you play the role of Joseph? Could you? Or are you still stuck somewhere back earlier in the script? Some of you may be disappointed. Maybe things in life hadn't worked out the way you hoped. Maybe your marriage is cooling down. Maybe a friend has turned his back on you. It could be anything. But it's time to discover that God is with you. He came to be with us. So put yourself in a place to hear from God. Maybe you need to make a fresh commitment to plug into the church. Be more active. Maybe you need to take time to read the scriptures and pray. There are lots of things you can do that will help you hear from God. But once you move from disappointment to discovery, then it's time to dedicate yourself to Christ. What's God asking you to do? It's time to put in practice what you know He wants you to do. One of my favorite Christmas carols is Joy to the World. And one of my favorite lines in that song is, let every heart prepare Him room. And I'm wondering this morning, is there room in your heart for Jesus? Mary and Joseph both made room. They altered their lives completely. And I pray that you are ready to do the same. Don't refuse the gift that God gave you. He sent His Son for you and me. And while we sing our invitation hymn this morning, I hope you'll consider your commitment to Jesus Christ. It's number 192. And we'll sing just the first and last verses. Don't forget, after the benediction, just sit tight for a few minutes. If you want to sign the card for Geneva Hill, it'll be up here on the piano. and take time to visit a little and wish everybody a happy Christmas.
Don't leave before you close. If everybody would be seated after you get finished, thank the Sunday school class is going to pass out some stuff that Jimmy put together for the church.
Yeah, that's one of our age-old traditions here at Little Hickman, is give an old-fashioned Christmas gift. So after our benediction, just have a seat. Gracious Lord, you've given your only Son for us, and we celebrate him with great joy. You've assured us in your word that when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. So let us set the joy bells ringing by surrendering our lives to do your will, as Joseph did. Let this be our prayer every day of our lives. We pray in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.